Welcome back to TRP.
Hi, very warm welcome back to the Ross Lair podcast. 4 weeks ago, I decided to get into my car and take the ferry from Ross Lair Europort to Bilbao in Spain, a trip of 28 or 29 hours at sea. What possessed me? Well, perhaps it was the cabin fever, or a break from the impending winter months, a chance to, and I know this will sound ironic, to charge my batteries before we batten down the hatches for what promises to be a long and hard winter. Hi, I'm down here in Ross Lair Harbour. I'm about to embark on a ferry going to Bilbao from Ross Lair. It's a Brittany's ferry and it's called the Connemara. And it's a smaller boat, it doesn't have a big open plan, so there's not a lot of room to walk around, and it's going to be a 28-hour trip, so I'm a little daunted by it, and I'm a little bit scared about what it might have. You know, what it might turn out to be. Hopefully, it's not going to be that claustrophobic, but I shall find out. I have to say, I was very, very surprised that at this time of year, I'm talking about 13th of October, that there is a ferry directly from Ross Lair to Cherbourg. Like I say, 28 hours. Couldn't get a cabin with a window because it was booked out. The whole thing was booked out. So I had to get a dog-friendly cabin, which doesn't have windows. So I don't know how I feel about that. But the great thing about it is that when I get off the ferry, I'll be in Spain. So I'll have saved myself the big drive down through France and the expense of the motorways of France. I'll get back to you later and let you know how it's going. At the ferry port, one must provide a passenger locator form and the relevant papers re the double vaccine before being allowed on board. I regret to say that the terminal in the Ross Lair Europort is probably one of the most dreary things I have witnessed in the last 4 weeks. I think for those travelling, a coffee was available, but that was about it. Oh yes, they have toilets too, but I didn't venture to look. The first thing you notice when you drive your car onto the Connemara is that you have to park on the open deck. The cost? Well, because of COVID, cabins were limited to parties travelling together. In my case, that was two people and a car. And the cost was roughly €350 for a single journey. But because of midterm, I had checked, a single return flight with Ryanair at the time I wanted to return was roughly €350. So I thought, no, instead of getting on an aeroplane with a leprechaun lunchbox as my travel bag, I would take the car and have my own independence. As you can hear, the announcements are coming over the tannoy system loud and clear here. And I'm on the deck and I'm looking out from the port side, looking out towards Curraghcloe Beach, looking back towards the Blackstair Mountains, looking back towards Mount Leinster. And in front of me, I can see the green buoys as we take the channel down towards Tusker Rock. And I'm looking down the water, I see quite a lot of large jellyfish, which is quite surprising. And actually, there are loads of them. Lots and lots of jellyfish out here, which again is surprising. I wish our dear lady would stop talking. I'm now on the port side of the boat as it heads down through the channel of buoys, and I'm looking back towards the Blackstair Mountains and Mount Leinster. The sea's very, very calm. I've noticed the water below me is full of large jellyfish. Like I say, looking back, I can see Mount Leinster and I can see the town of Ross Lair Strand. The cabin is pretty basic. You know, it's a four berth cabin, but inside, ideally for, they call it pet friendly cabins. There are very little soaps and things to be had on the in the toilet. There's just one thing, and I don't think there's any sort of a body wash for in the shower room. I suppose you bring your own. Yeah, I suppose it's bigger than I thought. It's not the luxury. It's not a luxury boat, but again, I have to say I love the idea that I'm here. And what I was about to say was the fact that my next stop would be Bilbao, but I was distracted by Tusker Rock. Yeah, we're heading down towards Tusker Rock now. Tusker Rock is about a mile away to my left. I can see the buildings at the base of the lighthouse. Lots of birds, and I cannot believe how many jellyfish are in the water. It's crazy. I'm looking out on a very, very calm sea. I cannot see a ripple or a wave or a tiny little wash of white. The sky is greyish, but mild. The weather's really mild. And we are now approaching Tusker Rock. And from here, I can see the sizable building at the base of the rock itself. The rock is not very large. In actual fact, it's probably, if the lighthouse was to be laid on its side, you'd probably just about fit two of them on the longest part of it. It was here back, I think, in 1968, somewhere near here, 5 miles south of here, that an Aer Lingus flight was lost at sea here with the loss of, I think, 60-something lives. It doesn't look that impressive. The building itself is not that tall. The light is not flashing at the moment. It's probably 10:30 in the day, 10:45 in the morning. The sky's looking bright in the distance, so I'll let you know more about this later on. I'm sitting now in the restaurant, and the sea is very, very calm.
Have you finished your meal?
Yes, thank you. Yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
You also?
Yes. Thank you.
And right now, I can see the horizon, and there's nothing to be seen for miles. But the sea is so calm, so smooth. You notice the dolphins when the minute they break surface, you can actually see their fins. There are now some dolphins. I'm literally standing at the front of the boat, and the dolphins are literally about 10 feet away, and they're just cutting across in front of the boat. So far the crossing's been fine, and it hasn't been as daunting as I thought it would be, so fingers crossed. So far so good. Hi, I'm back out on the port side of the boat. It's got a little bit grayer, but they're still very calm, very mild. I came out here hoping that maybe 3 hours, 3.5 hours into the journey, I might be able to catch a glimpse of the coast of Cornwall. And I must say, possibly on a clearer day, I might be able to see something. But as I look out now, I don't see anything. The food in the restaurant was good. They had a decent choice. Food wasn't particularly warm, but they make up for that by having a microwave available to heat the food to the temperature you want. As I'm looking out now, I see 3 gannets. They're flying nearly a slight bit faster than the boat. They're just passing by with wings flapping in their yellow heads. So far, it's been a pleasurable enough trip. All the cars that seem to get on the boat, they all appear to be on the open deck, so they've had to drive up. So if it was a rough sea, I'm sure your car would be sprayed with lots of salt water and stuff like that, so which wouldn't be the greatest thing in the world, but hey, it's fine. I'm out on the deck again. It's now dark, and on the starboard side, I'm looking out and I can see Venus, very, very bright in the sky, and the horizon is lit with a sort of a muddy, reddy, brown light. And then the sky gets a little bit lighter blue, and then it's dark, and I can see all the stars, I can see the plough, and it's changed, it's quite breezy down here. It's quarter past six in the morning. I'm just after getting out of bed. I've had a good sleep, actually. I've been in bed since about maybe 8 o'clock last night, and I'm slept out, for want of a better term. And I'm out on the rear deck of the boat. It's still pitch dark outside. Yeah, there are three rows of cars in front of me. I'm standing on the aft deck looking out towards the sky. It's pitch black. I don't see anything, possibly because of the deck lights that are illuminating the cars that are parked here. There's 24 on the left-hand side as I look back, which would be the starboard side, and another 12 or 13 on the other side. So there's still quite a lot of space for cars. So I wonder about cabins, if there's only, say, half full. So why have they a shortage of cabins? I thought it would be nice to come and experience this at this hour of the night where there's nobody around. So, you know, in an hour's time it'll be seven, but in actual fact, in continental times, that's 8 o'clock in the morning. So it's about time I got up anyway. And there's very little movement in the place at all. It's all nice and quiet. And like I said, the area that I was put into, the only available area was the dog-friendly section. And when you look at the cabin, you think, well, why is it a dog-friendly section? And the only reason seems to be is there are no carpets on the floor, so they're easily are cleaned. So that's possibly it. Yeah, the cabins are all very, very quiet at the moment. And I'm just going to have a look downstairs here now and see what's down here. So I'm coming down possibly the main stairs from the cabins down towards the bar area, the kitchen area where they eat. And I'm going to have a look at what I can see out. There's a smoking area here. And actually, it's just the same. It's very, very breezy out there now on that side. So I'm just going to have a look in here. So now I'm coming into which is very, very strange. I'm coming into the eating area, the refectory, the people where the tables are. And there's not a sinner to be seen anywhere. It's all completely shut down. Telly is still on, I can see. Tellies are on. Yeah, there's television. All the televisions are on, which is very, very strange. All different programs on too, which is very odd. But yeah, unmissable moments in the self-service. I'm just having a look. So breakfast starts from 8 o'clock to 10, and lunch is from 12 to 2. Please show your voucher ticket before ordering. So nobody around here, so I'm just going to head back to base. So here we are. We're arriving in the port here in Bilbao. The first thing I notice is the heat. It's lovely and warm. A beautiful sunshine, and we arrived about an hour ahead of schedule because of the calmness of the water. It's stunningly beautiful at the moment, and very, very warm. So, looking forward to the next part of the trip. The whole journey, actually, to be honest, was good. It wasn't as traumatic as I thought it would be. I was dreading it because 28 hours in any boat is not the most pleasant thing in the world. So, and I'm looking at a lot of wind turbines. They're stored on the docks here, so there must be a lot of the blades and the bodies. There must be a lot of wind turbine construction going on in or around this area here, and I do know that they intend to do something very, very similar in Rosslare, so hopefully it will happen. Having negotiated my way through Bilbao, I headed towards Pamplona. I had always been fascinated by Hemingway, the writer, Hemingway the man, and his love of Spain. He once said, "Pamplona is a swell town, greatest country you ever saw." I'm now in the Hotel Mesa Nave in Pamplona. And I'm up on the top floor, sixth floor, and I'm looking out at this wonderful octagonal shaped red brick building with a crazy, nearly Turkish looking symbol on the roof with a kind of a minaret and a half moon behind that. It's the center of the old town with loads of character, and it probably wasn't worth the money. I think they charge 160, but still, it's a lovely room with a lovely view, and we're smack in the middle of the city, so we get a chance to venture out tonight and have a look around, and get a chance then tomorrow to do some sightseeing before we head on for Barcelona or that direction. So, yes, Pamplona.
Excuse my ignorance. I always thought the town was called Pamplona, but in actual fact it is Pamplona.
It's a lovely town, lots of trees, lots of parks. In the background you can hear the children playing in the park as the parents sit down. It's the evening, starts to settle in, and there's a lovely vibrancy about the place. Here's the little sound of the street atmosphere outside. Well, it's 9:30 in the morning. I'm just after waking up in Pamplona. The sun is starting to come out. There's still a bit of a nip in the air, but it looks like it will be a good day. The hotel I stayed in, the Hotel Mesonave, charges 160 quid for the room. It's a double room. And it doesn't really have soaps. It's nice, a nice room with a nice view, but they do not include breakfast in that either. So, in some ways, I'm a bit disappointed, but such is life, such is life. But I went down the town here, the centre of the old town in Pamplona, and yesterday it was kind of narrow streets with lots of tapas bars and restaurants, and the place was teeming. It was like it was Mardi Gras. It was so busy, and it was so lovely in such a vibrant atmosphere. So there's a lovely feel to the town, and I'm going to explore it more and possibly find out more about Hemingway. I'm just after walking down this street, and the first thing I noticed when I left the hotel was the air is quite chill. I have a t-shirt on me, and I was a bit surprised because I thought it might be a little bit warmer, because it does warm up in the afternoons. But I went into a little cafe called The Arte, and I sat down and had a cappuccino and look at life passing by. And one of the things I have noticed is that both the men and the women are very, very stylish in the way they dress here. And this particular area down by the old town where you have the children's playground and a lot of students is really, really lovely. And last night was a really vibrant young population walking up and down the narrow streets. So it's a very, very pleasant place.
Pamplona had always fascinated me as a child, watching those crazy people in their white attire and red waistbands running down the narrow streets as a stampede of bulls thundered along behind them. I don't know still if I thought they were brave young men or simple idiots. And then there was Hemingway's connection with the town. He had come here in 1923 and fell in love with the place and the people. His novel, The Sun Also Rises, is set here. As I continued my walk, I came upon Plaza de Castile, Castle Square.
I am now after walking onto one of the squares in the town here, and I must say I am really, really impressed with some of the wonderful architecture in the square here. Some beautiful buildings. I don't know if the music is actually a lot. Guys, just jamming here in the square. But it's There's a lovely bandstand with 7 columns, 8 columns, complete granite, beautiful looking, with a lovely copper dome on it. And all the buildings, they're beautiful, beautiful, with nice wrought iron balconies. A beautiful, beautiful square. The square itself is lined with concrete slabs, but it works well. It's clean, it's spotless, and there's lots of places for people to sit down and rest and relax. And I'm just going to... It's a young girl's singing some music there with a guy playing a guitar, just the two of them. So I'm going to hear what they sound like when they sing something else.
Hemingway had come here a total of 9 times to attend the festival of San Fermín, the bull run to you and me. He seemed to be obsessed with the concept of bravery and the willingness to taunt death. The beautiful square with its 5-story buildings, each one individual in style, adorned with beautiful balconies, painted in the most tasteful terracotta, pastel pinks and blues, with the wonderful granite bandstand and its ornate columns and green copper dome standing proudly in the middle of the square. One of Hemingway's favourite haunts was the Café Iruna, which stands on the square. A life-size statue to Hemingway is in one of the side rooms of the café, and Hemingway immortalised the café in his novel. Hemingway's love affair with Pamplona lasted all his life. They say he loved his bulls, his wine, his women, and the occasional fishing trip.
This is just outside the Hotel La Perla where Hemingway stayed, and I'm listening to some guy playing some beautiful accordion. Thank you. I'm just going to leave that man now. He's playing some beautiful stuff on the accordion. And I just want to say that I did inquire about the price of a room in La Perla. And he said to me the only room that he had available at the moment was... I don't know what sort of a room it was. It was probably one of the... It's a five-star hotel, by the way. He said to me the room was 700 and something, 750 euros. And then he said if I was to call back later, there might be a room available for 390 before tax. So basically, the guts of 420 quid or something like that. And the plaque on the wall basically just says, since Hemingway stayed here, and I can't remember the year, since Hemingway stayed here in 1924 or something like that, he said there's been a lot of very famous guests. But I wonder, does that justify the hotel lobby is interesting enough. There's nothing fantastic about it, but I suppose it's the idea that Hemingway did stay there, and it's in the building itself. It's not a very big hotel. It's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 floors on the ground floor. Each room has a balcony looking out, and they're facing south, which they get the sun. And if you're facing south here, you're looking across diagonally onto the square, which is very, very beautiful. I can see why Hemingway would have wanted to come here in the first place.
I too, like Mr. Hemingway, fell in love at Pamplona, and we decided to spend a second night there, but we tried to find some place less expensive.
Having walked around Pamplona looking for another hotel less expensive, I started to despair because I didn't think there was any available rooms anywhere. Everywhere seemed to be booked out. It is, of course, Friday and the beginning of the weekend, which is understandable. So I happened to be walking past some street and I saw the sign Habitacion, and I went in and went up these stairs, and this woman showed me a room, a beautiful little room for 50 euros for the night. And it is fantastic. So now I can relax, have a couple of beers, and enjoy the rest of the trip here. And I'm just after getting two tapas, two beers, and a bottle of water for €8.20. I like that.
So if any of our listeners would like to go to Pamplona, let me recommend the Budget Pension Mendi, M-E-N-D-I. The place was clean, tidy, neat, efficient. Everything about the place I can highly recommend. That's Pension Mendi in Pamplona. Please tune in next week when I continue my trip by going to the beautiful city of Barcelona. Keep on listening to TRP.